JM in the AM. It's America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners sponsored digital radio. Around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com and the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course, on the beloved NSN app. Before the Yaakov Shweki selection, you heard Simcha Friedman with Amir Tzashem, Lashon Haba, done by Duvidol, Achenu from Choni G, and of course, Ellie Marcus, brand new with the Sephardic medley. JM in the AM, hour number three, and here we are between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and one of my favorite guests. The truth is, he's more than a guest. I can't call him a co-host. That wouldn't be fair. I could call him a regular guest, regular feature, a regular guest. I could do that.
Am I on?
Yeah. You're on now.
Just call me a friend. That's all.
You're a radio friend.
No.
So between Yom Kippur, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, traditionally, we are really talking about some fun, high-spirited, wonderful celebratory times. Today, Jay Buchsbaum walks in and we're talking about what's going on in Israel. Obviously, yesterday was a very difficult day, as we discussed. But in general, you're giving us a great dose of reality here, that all the people that you deal with in Israel will tell you just how hard the last year has been on all these different levels, from business to the north being completely empty to tourism being down. To people being in Miluim and Army Reserves for months and months and months, some of them 9 out of the last 12 months, some even longer. We keep hearing stories, of course. And I think because we know a lot of people, and by we, I mean the American Jewish community, knows so many people who live in Israel who work in America, you know, meaning they have remote jobs and they're able to do different things in the area of technology, which, thank God, continues to grow, etc. So we don't hear it as much. But as you said, the average Joe, the average Yussel, in Israel is going through a very, very tough time. And how different this conversation is now between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. With all that in mind, he is the world's number one kosher wine sommelier, as voted by the firm of Siegel and Siegel and Siegel.
Was there anybody, what about Siegel?
Was there anybody else in that firm?
Yeah,
it was just the three of us. It was just the three Siegels. There was nobody else. Nobody else had an input into whether you should be the number one kosher wine sommelier. His name, of course, is the one and only Jay
Buchsbaum.
And he's from the Grapevine. And a couple of things. First of all, what do you think of this custom? I don't know where you spent Yom Kippur. But what do you think of this custom of people breaking their fast on a hard
of whiskey.
Drink or whiskey, wine. I don't know if any. Well, people do it on wine because of Havdalah. People do it on wine. What do you think? Are you the grape juice route on Saturday night?
I'm the grape juice route.
You even?
Yeah.
And that's probably the only cup of grape juice you have all year, right?
One second.
Is that the only cup of grape juice you have all year?
No.
Matzah Yom Kippur?
No, I have grape juice every Saturday night.
Every Havdalah?
Yeah, every Havdalah.
Interesting. I would think that you. But you probably have a mentality that you're not using your regular bottles for Havdalah.
No, I had
half of it's going down the sink.
I had all these wonderful wines for, you know, over Shabbos.
Right. And Yontif.
No, but I'm saying on a regular Shabbos,
correct.
I have all these wonderful wines. Genigschein, you know, it's enough. Right. And now I'm going to have grape juice.
No, but I also think that's part of it.
Yeah, it's part of it.
And you don't want half that cup going down the kitchen sink.
Right. No, I drink the whole cup.
The whole thing?
For Havdalah.
And even if you'd use wine, you would do that?
Yeah.
Okay, I hear that.
That's another reason.
Right. So what did you break your fast on Saturday night? You had the cup of grape juice.
So this is the first
year. And then
year,
straight to what?
So this is the first year I did. I usually have a shot of whiskey.
Right. After Havdalah?
Yeah.
Right.
But this year I didn't do that. I don't know why. I just didn't.
So what did you have? Did you wash on something?
Yeah, of course. I had, you know, the usual bagels and my son Tzvi made eggs for everybody.
The break fast tradition.
You know, cream cheese and, you know.
My father, not every year, but certain years, he would actually have a meat meal after Yom Kippur.
Wow.
A real Suda, yeah. Sudas Yontif type thing, you know.
Is that a thing?
I think there is a thing. You have to look. I'm almost sure that it's actually a thing. That people do it, you know, that they, first of all, obviously before Yom Kippur, you have a Suda, and then after Yom Kippur, you know,
you have two. Before.
Correct. Right. Yeah, my father always had two, right. Not everyone does the two.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, you're a Williamsburg traditionalist. Of course, you probably do three. Do you actually remember Erev Yom Kippur in Williamsburg? Did they have chicken kebabs then? Or just
of course.
They had chicken kebabs then?
Of course.
The 1960s and 70s.
Yeah, I mean, as a little kid, on Penn Street,
right,
before I moved to Wilson Street. Right.
Before you moved up.
To the projects, right, which we really thought was like, wow, that luxury. Was nirvana. That was real luxury because we all had our own rooms, you know. But no, before that, we used to use money, you know, 18 right. cents.
Of course.
And then when we moved to the projects, we started doing chickens.
And I do remind everybody, if you're a longtime listener, you know this already. Jay's not kidding when he says his own room, because on Penn Street, you actually slept in the hallway of the apartment building.
Right. How do you remember that?
How can I get over the trauma and forget it? Are you kidding me?
Well, not in the hallway of the building.
The vestibule of the apartment.
Right, exactly. Right. Entryway.
And that was only when there were guests or always?
In the beginning, always.
Wow. And that's till age 10?
No, till about age 10.
Unbelievable. And today, you tell a kid they don't have their own room, and, you know.
No, Parrots and I, my little brother and I, after he was born, I slept in the, you know, in the entryway.
Right.
But then when he was born, we went out, and we spent a big ton of money, and we got a convertible couch for the living room.
Nice.
So every night, we would open the couch, and that's where we would sleep, in the living room.
That's an upgrade.
Yeah, it's an upgrade.
What do you think?
Yeah.
When you go to Williamsburg today and see kosher wine stores, was there such a thing back then?
No, there was no such thing.
Where did they sell wine then? I don't even know where they sold wine.
A Treif wine store. You buy, you know.
Right, you went to a regular liquor store. You went to a regular liquor store.
Yeah.
You go now, and have you seen the one on Bedford Avenue?
It's unbelievable.
You saw that one?
Yeah, sure.
It's pretty insane.
There are a few of them.
Yeah, and not just full with everything in stock, but fancy and well-stocked and organized. You know, when you'd go shopping in the old days of Williamsburg, you know, things would be behind that box. And, you know,
right.
But now everything's sectioned off perfectly. It's funny when you think about it. But it's not such Williamsburg. It's a different world in general. But,
yeah, baby.
I remember I was speaking to Yechi Herzog, and shout out to the Herzog family. Obviously, they've been with us and our friends for over 30 years. So I was down in Lakewood once, at one time in the last few months, and I think just by traveling around Lakewood, getting from place to place, we saw like 3-4 kosher wine stores. And I remember the days, I mean, there are people who will say they remember there were zero, but I remember there was only one. I remember there was one wine store, everybody knew it, and that was the one. And now, according to what the Herzogs tell me, there might be 10.
Lakewood. There's more than 10.
There are 10 in that area? Oh, speaking of, is that who I think it is? Oh, no, it's not who I think it is. I thought Yechi had snuck in here. Anyway, but he says 10, and you're saying to me that that's a legitimate guess.
Oh, I think more than that.
More than 10?
Yeah, there's probably 10 in Brooklyn. And then there's
meaning
probably
what? There's
10
more
in Lakewood? In Lakewood, and I don't know.
No, but Lakewood only. How many?
Oh, Lakewood is probably 10.
You know what they say.
What?
You can make a living at that.
You can make a living at that.
So we are in a different era, Mr. Bookspan.
Oh, my goodness.
It is a completely different era. It is not Williamsburg of the 1960s.
No, it's not.
It is now Lakewood of 2025 almost, 5785. And while we're on the topic, because you're not only an expert in kosher wine, frankly, because of your work, you're an expert in kosher restaurants as well, because we deal with a million of them.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Have you seen what's happening in that industry, in the Jewish world?
Oh, my gosh.
And by the way, if you are in the Lakewood area and you're looking for choices, you'll have more than in Manhattan. When you're going out of Manhattan, there's only one or two categories of choices, most of them high-end, and not everybody wants to go to a high-end place each time. You're in Lakewood.
Oh, my gosh.
You have the gamut of
Chickies.
You like that one?
Oh, my gosh.
You know they're across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're not.
Oh, no. Which one
are you thinking? Oh, you're not thinking of Chickies.
I'm thinking of Chickies.
You're thinking of Mike's?
Mike's.
Yeah, that's that everyone talks about.
Oh, my gosh. Mike's.
But they don't serve wine there.
No. Well, we're going to give it. I'm working on it.
No way.
I'm working on it.
Not a shot.
I remember Mike's when I had to go to, like, the garage. Did you know that? They were like in a garage.
They started in a house garage?
Not a house garage.
A warehouse garage?
Like a warehouse garage, yeah.
And now? I never saw it.
And now they have a beautiful place.
It's a storefront.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Clean and neat.
Jay Bookspan, reliving most of Jewish history with us here.
I'm telling you.
On a Monday morning broadcast at JMM. All right, so you asked me off the air, what are we discussing this morning? And I said to you, I'm not going to tell you because I didn't want to ruin the spontaneity.
Right.
But I had the impetus to invite you here for one reason.
Okay.
To discuss something that I thought was so significant. And certain, it's funny, people's reaction to this. I was dining somewhere in the last few weeks, and the owner of the restaurant walks up to me and gives me a gift. All right. Very nice. What's the gift? The gift is a special edition bottle of Psagot wine that was made in honor of the communities that were so devastated by the enemy 1 year ago. I take the bottle. I think the label and the packaging is beautiful. I take the bottle, and I go to Mendy across the street. You know Mendy.
Sure. Great guy.
Originally from Denver, if you don't know if you know that.
I did not know
Originally from Denver.
Wonderful.
Now you have something to speak to him about next time you go in.
So, I can talk to him about the Barons.
What's that? Correct. Barons family, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I go to him and I say, I must have this bottle to send to certain friends. I mean, it's just so significant and so nice. For Yontif, I'd like it. Anyway, he had six bottles left. Apparently, this bottle, this special edition bottle from Psagot, were shipped to the United States, only 200-300 cases. That's right. What I was told.
Right.
Now, apparently, they're trying, according to the people in your office, they're trying to get like 1,000 cases here. I don't know if it even happened before Sukkot. Will it happen this week or not?
It has the date of the, what do you call
Correct.
It? Right.
10-7.
Right, 10-7.
Or there, 7-10.
7-10.
So it's a 7-10 bottle because it's made in Israel. Any chance before Sukkot is more or not? Or you have no idea?
I think there is more.
Oh, there is more already?
I think so.
I'm going to have to ask them today because if there's more, I'd like certain people on Wednesday night to have it on their sukkah's table in their sukkah. First of all, what I liked about the bottle is that it starts a conversation. If that's on your yuntif table, people are going to be focused on what happened a year ago.
Thank you. This is a great idea.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering,
great
how
idea.
Do I... No.
It's Sagot's idea.
No, I was wondering how I can convey the idea that I and everybody out there should be
Correct.
Focused on Israeli
wines. Get it
wines.
On the Yontif table.
And this is not only getting an Israeli wine on the Yontif table, it's right. getting the conversation starting.
Correct.
Started. I mean,
because
you know.
We should sit down, as I said earlier in the show, we should sit down Wednesday night and we should enjoy Yontif. And you and I know that we very much appreciate living in the lap of luxury in this country. And thank God we could observe and we could have our heritage and tradition. And we're not discounting that. No one's saying not to observe Yontif and enjoy it. Right? We're going to enjoy Yontif. But it's a good idea to keep our hostages in mind, to keep the IDF in mind. Somebody that whose parents davened in Staten Island, where I was for Yontif, they tell me that Rosh Hashanah, their son, was blowing shofar in Lebanon. Yom Kippur, he was back home. And now Tuesday, tomorrow, he's going back for Yontif to the Lebanese Lebanon. Border. I mean, you know, and he's got two little kids at home, the whole thing, you know. So it would be a good idea. And now, again, I'm not discouraging people from celebrating Yontif and having the best time in Shul Thursday. But we should keep in mind, for 5 minutes during these meals, what some of our brothers and sisters are going through. That's all.
I was just telling you right before we began I have a nephew, Yoshua Koenig, who is a commander in a special ops unit. And if he was home in the last year more than half the time, much less, I'm sure. Right.
Probably 2-3 months.
And he's not in regular army. He's a Milouim guy. He's a
reservist.
A reservist.
How old is he around?
30.
Oh, he's 40 already.
40.
Anyway, so our brothers and sisters are going through a lot, and you know it more than most people because you deal with them constantly every single day.
Every day I talk to either a winemaker or a wine grower or somebody who's selling it or whatever, or a writer.
All right.
My friend Adam Montefiore.
We've had him on the air, sure.
And, you know, it's great that the technical business is doing great in Israel. But
thank God,
what about the groceries? What about the hotels? What about the restaurants?
The vineyards.
What about the vineyards?
The farms up north.
I'm telling you, they literally are taking their lives in the north, their lives into their hands when they go into the vineyards up north.
So it doesn't bother me that you make this appearance, which you do every time, every year, this time of year, and that this is what we're talking about. Now let me tell you about my conversation with the people of Psagot.
Okay.
So I see this bottle. Again, folks, it's a 7-10 bottle. Ask your retailer. There's a good... Someone told me, by the way, ironically enough, because here it's sold out for obvious reasons. People are so focused on Israel. But in all seriousness, no judgment here. Someone told me that the Bedford Avenue in Williamsburg had a massive supply of it.
The Chassidish places. Mamish. You know,
yeah. So, well, the Chassidish places don't have it. But the one on Bedford apparently has a supply. So anyway, we'll try
No, it's just because it's not that they don't have it. They're confused about the date. That's right. They're confused.
They're trying to figure out what happened in July. Anyway, so it's a 710 bottle.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. It's a 710 bottle from Sagot. Anyway, so I speak to our friends at Sagot, and you know who I mean when I say that. Yeah. And I say, I have to tell you, I was given this as a gift. It's the most beautiful. It's such a. And then I said to them, you know.
Beautiful design, too.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. And I said, just the fact that people at their Yontif table, Rosh Hashanah Sukkot, will be reading the names of the communities and just. Talking about, you know, it's going to lead to conversation about what's going on in Israel. And obviously, as we just said, we know why that's so important. So he says to me, and I found this very interesting, did you find it offensive that it looks like we might be trying to, you know, piggyback on a terrible tragedy with a product? I said, you know, it's an interesting question. But number one, proceeds from the sales are going to one of the organizations. So that's number one. But number two, I said to me, you know, it was done so tastefully that it never crossed my mind. Like, I never even thought for a second, oh, that's not right. That's not nice that they're piggybacking on a track. It didn't cross my mind for a second. And I said to him, if it didn't cross my mind for a second, I'm so cynical, it didn't cross my mind for a second, then this was a really good thing you did. By the way, they debated, you probably heard this already, they debated about exporting it. They said we should keep this in Israel. You know, in Israel, it should be a bottle that's commemorating, you know, the date, et cetera. But then they heard about the demand outside of Israel, so they gave it a shot with these few cases that we just mentioned. Yeah. And look what's happened. Obviously, it sold out right away. So that's the story from my end.
The answer is yes.
Of course.
Let's piggyback.
Of course.
That's okay.
100%.
That's okay because they can need it. They use it. They, you know, every.
Oh, they need the business also.
Yeah, they need the business. That's okay. Let's piggyback.
And the truth is that I think my theory is foolproof. You put it on the Yontif table, and it's going to.
Oh, that's brilliant!
It's going to increase the conversation.
I wasn't even on my list, but now it's going to be on my
Kiddush Wednesday
table.
Night. Kiddush Wednesday
Illuminator,
night.
Yeah.
And by the way, I asked one of my.
If I can find it.
Right. You better go to the warehouse.
Yeah, really. Well, this morning after I take Shirley to breakfast.
So then I say to one of these fine schmeckers, one of the guys you know from the island of Manhattan, I say to him, by the way, I'm no wine expert, but I don't know if this is a good blend or not. Like, it may be one of those, I don't even want to say, because there's a wine right now from Yudan Shomron that I'm very into, but my sophisticated friends say it's not good enough for them.
Gary,
excuse me, Jay. They say it's, you know, they say it's just an upgrade from one of my, you know, from one of my Black Muscat type wines. All right, I think they're wrong. I think I'll tell you off the air. I think it is a little bit more sophisticated.
You know, there's a Yiddish expression.
You know what?
Ich pfeif zeyun.
Which means
the heck with them. I don't care what they think. So, if you like it, it's fine.
By the way, big seller. The one I'm talking about apparently is a big seller in this area. You probably already know what I'm talking about, but I'll tell you off the air. Anyway, so I said, I don't know if this wine is, you know, it's good for the Yontif tables, we said, for the reasons I mentioned. But I have no idea if it's a good blender. Anyway, this guy gets back to me after a show and says, by the way, very good wine.
Oh, there you go.
Like, really, one of the, you know, in that category of the higher end types. So they did a good job. They did a great label. They did great packaging. Obviously, they made the right decision by sending it here, and they put together a blend, or I don't even know if it's a blend, but whatever.
It is a blend.
Of, you know, that even the most sophisticated people think is worthy, you know, of that bottle. So there you go. That's my. So big shout out to our friends in Sagot. You'll see them when? Are you going to Israel at all in the near future or not?
No, probably after the first.
Before Hanukkah? Oh, after the first of the year.
Yeah.
Because Hanukkah is the last week of the year this year. This is the year to be in Hanukkah, Hanukkah in Israel.
Ay.
How about this?
Yeah.
If you end up there, Hanukkah, we'll have a sufganiyot together.
You got it.
With a bottle of wine.
The sufganiyot in Israel?
On Hanukkah?
My gosh.
Insane.
I mean, those things are like. I know. Works of art, literally.
So when you go, you know, Sagot has tastings, right?
They do have beautiful.
When they do it on Hanukkah, do they let you pair up with sufganiyot? You don't know.
I'm sure they do.
They do?
I'm sure. I don't know.
Because that would
sure
be, because I'm a sweet wine guy, that would be something I'd enjoy.
Oh, I'm. You know what, though?
What?
Even good rich Cabernets and good rich reds.
With donuts?
Are great with chocolates. And
Jay,
for chocolate donuts.
I may have to throw you out of here for that.
What can I tell you? I actually worked with a lady who did chocolate stuff, and she did a whole thing about pairing wines with chocolate. So,
well, but not sweet wines, you're saying?
Yeah, no, not sweet wines.
Regular red wines.
Yeah, but a lot of the chocolates were, you know, they were sweet, but they were bitter chocolates.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Dark chocolate, bittersweet chocolate.
Bittersweet.
Especially the power of chocolates.
Right. Right.
Someone said to me yesterday, they think dark chocolate's better than it used to be. I said, I think you're just getting older. You're actually acquiring a taste for that awful chocolate. You know, one of the most traumatizing episodes of my life.
No, tell me.
I was traveling with Stacy. This must be like a year after we got married, like really early on. And we're in the airport. And we're in one of these.
And you're still together. So
thank God.
It wasn't that traumatic.
And you go,
though.
And you go to these gift shops,
right.
And you see people are buying, you know, candy and bags of snacks for the plane, especially those days. You could take anything you wanted on the plane. Now it really has to be scrutinized. Anyway, so we see a family shopping.
You're dating yourself, you know.
Yeah, you can say that again. So we see a family shopping, you know, getting items, etc. And a little kid must be 5 years old. Says to his parents, oh, mommy and daddy, can I please have a special dark? And I almost collapsed. I said, wait a second. There can't be a kid in this country who actually wants a special dark chocolate bar. Can't be. Jay, is impossible. And I have never recovered from that traumatic experience.
I love the special dark.
Did you like
the
it as
Hershey
a kid?
Special
you
dark.
Liked it as a kid?
I loved it.
As a kid?
Yes.
Wow. Today, I could tolerate it.
I can't even find it.
No?
It's hard to find.
Today I could tolerate it, but I'd much rather have a Crackle or Mr. Goodbar. Come on.
I hear you.
I mean, you
I
know.
Hear you. I hear you.
Did you hear about this new chocolate they're making now?
What?
I don't remember the name of it. If anybody knows, you could write it on the app. There's a milk chocolate that's being made now, kosher, with a pistachio filling. Have you heard about this or not?
No.
It is a craze. Like, everyone's going nuts about it. Now, I tasted it. I had it, and it is something
special,
to go nuts about. Yes, it is something really, I don't know what you would pair up with it, but it's something really,
I don't know. I'm
really
trying to stay away from the sugars these days.
All right, Jay. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I'm eating
another,
it.
Another reason not to invite
just
you. So here we are with Jay Bookspam, and of course, before the holiday begins and before we wish him a wonderful upcoming holiday of Sukkot. The question, well, we know the answer in terms of Wednesday night. If you can get one of those 7-10 bottles, that's what you're making Kiddush on Wednesday night.
Right.
Are you home?
Yeah.
In your sukkah?
I'm home.
Did you build the sukkah yet?
I built the sukkah last night.
Where did you build it? Where we had the barbecue that time?
Yeah.
That's where you built it?
Yeah, but it's on the
flat part?
Yeah.
No danger if I would visit?
No.
No danger of of tipping over?
I don't know if you could fit it.
Jay invites me to a barbecue. I can barely walk through the backyard.
It was nice.
Are you kidding me? That
Wasn't
night
that nice?
Was better than nice. That night was spectacular.
Bear Yitzchak, that was beautiful.
Are they still around?
Yeah, are you kidding me?
They're going
they
strong?
They just finished. Well, they need another $1 million. Anybody out there can.
That's it?
Yeah, it's all
these days,
need.
A million
it was
eight,
a six,
eight
It
much.
Was a $6 million project, and they're almost there.
Hard to fundraise these days with the whole Israel piece. It's hard.
But they're doing, they did a beautiful job, and they have a new campus.
What do we raise that night? A million and a half?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Brenda told me your checkbook was depleted that night. $600,000-$700,000.
Thank God.
$600,000-$700,000 was transferred.
This should be
said.
Our problem. This should be our problem. I should be able to halavai. I should
but what
be
did
able
you do that
do
night? You brought in these meats that were so good. And
that was
like,
great.
Was that all? I mean, this was like a real effort by somebody. I don't know who coordinated everything with you.
Bear Yitzchak.
But that was really something. All these different
Sheba of Elizabeth. Yeah.
All these different delightful dishes and obviously great wines. We auctioned off a couple of bottles of wine.
Oh my gosh, you were amazing.
Well, I don't know if I was amazing. We had to twist
some
arms.
No,
we had to twist some arms, Jay.
No, we you know, Nathan said to me, Jay, Ponte Canet, I guess it was. He said, you should start at $600. Right. It went for $1,000 because of you.
It went for $1,000?
Yeah, it went for $1,000.
But nobody
I
was expecting
correct.
It to go for $1,800? No, seriously.
It
like,
might have
that
gone
was,
for more. I don't know.
But it met the expectations?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Because I forgot my gavel that night. I didn't bring it.
You didn't bring it, huh?
They actually lost
it. Do you have like the gavel with the handle, or you have like the thing that, you know, just the head that they, you
no,
know,
with
a lot
the
of,
handle.
Yeah, with the handle.
You don't think I'm authentic?
I don't know.
Who do you think I am? Impersonating a real?
No,
one?
Now they're doing that with, they're doing it with like a.
And they should all be dismissed. I'm a real auctioneer, Jay.
I hear you.
First time I ever used my gavel.
Yeah.
KFWE number 2.
Okay.
In the Museum of the Holocaust. Jewish Heritage.
Right.
Do you remember it?
I remember it well.
So the first one, where was the first one? I don't remember the first one.
The first two were there.
Oh, all right. So the first one, they asked me to auction off bottles of wine, but I was unprepared. I didn't know I was supposed to be an auctioneer that night. I came to do a radio show.
Right.
Then the next year, I said, oh, you know what's going to end up happening? They're going to end up asking me to be auctioneer. Not only did I purchase a gavel, I think I had my name engraved on it.
Where is it?
Unfortunately, I think it was lost in the fire. Oh, well. There goes that. But as I said to someone over Yuntem, I'm a lot
is
less.
Is my picture still there?
No, that was gone.
Gone, huh?
You know which picture that was? That was you on Purim. Well, there were a bunch of pictures of you. The two notable.
No, the one I'm talking about by the door, not the one on the wall. The one on the wall is with me and your buddy from Lower East Side, no?
There are two pictures of you I remember from that studio.
Go ahead.
You'll tell me if this is either of them. One was a picture that Mr. Deere gave us of blessed memory. Mr. Deere gave us of you on Purim when you were 10, 12, 15 years old.
Ah, yes.
I think you were blowing a trumpet or something. You were doing something there. The other picture of you was a picture that we took of you when you fell asleep in the studio. And you fell asleep in your chair, and we couldn't resist. Not only did we take the picture, we posted the picture on the wall. Maybe that's why the place burned down, because we were making fun of Jay. But anyway, those are the two I remember. What was in the one you remember?
There was one by the door as you left with me going like this. It's actually on my Facebook page.
Oh, so I have to look at it. I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the auction.
Actually me leaving, and you took a picture of me leaving, and that's on my Facebook page. Yeah.
Maybe that's because it was one of our favorite things when you would leave.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway.
Took me a moment, you know.
I see that. Anyway, I don't know how we got to this. It was the auction at your house. A lot of money raised for the yeshiva, thank God. A lot of delicious meat paired up with great wines. And we should do it again.
Yes.
When's the next one? Are we doing it this summer or not?
Maybe.
All right. You have time to prepare now. It's only October.
That's exactly right.
Will the sukkah be down by then? Someone sent me a note yesterday. He said, for my wife who was angry that I never took down the sukkah, who's laughing now? Well, I see, I can't relate to that.
Right.
Because
right.
I got this. Right. Oh, you probably had a community sukkah growing
up. Of course.
We had on the street?
On the street.
So what'd they do? They put cones around it? In those days?
No, we just blocked off the whole street.
In those days, it was irrelevant. Because now, if you go to Havemeyer, I don't know if you've been there recently. If you go to Havemeyer now, it's the biggest sukkah probably in New York. I can't imagine. Maybe
it's the Pratchett, same sukkah. That's what we used.
On Havemeyer?
Yeah.
That blocked half the street?
Yeah, that's right.
That everybody got angry about?
Right.
Well, now they painted orange.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, this way you could see it at night and nobody crashes into it and bicycles don't, you know. Uh-huh.
I'm interested. It's curious that they don't put up like cement, you know, blocks so that people, God forbid, wouldn't go into it.
I remember I was there a week or two ago. First of all, I was shocked that it was.
But, you know, it was in the beginning. There was some issues because only the men went into the sukkah,
right?
And we were from the Young Israel,
right?
You know, so we, you know, my mother and my sisters,
they wanted
to
eat there.
So it was a little tense at some points.
But I thought that sukkah is like exclusive to one of the Hasidic groups or something. It's not.
No, it's for the projects. Well, it was then.
I'm saying totally community.
Yeah, it was then. I don't know what it is now, but it was then.
See, the old days, according to you know, I'm a rookie on the Lower East Side. I'm only there 30 plus years. But according to those who were there, you know, in its heyday, there were people where the men sat and the women just served. Like they,
right,
they ate
right,
upstairs,
right.
They just served, right. And you know.
Well, when I was on Penn Street on the fifth floor, we used to literally, my mom used to.
A pulley?
Used to literally lower, we had these like stacked things,
right.
And they would really like close it tight.
There's still a couple of families that have the stacked things where we are.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But and I they lower I, it? Is that it?
No, but tradition, they carry it down.
Oh, I see.
You could still take down a bunch of, you know,
yeah.
A bunch of food in different containers if you
operate. Now, do you have an Erev down there, so if it's Shabbos.
Well, the every sukkah there is enclosed by a gate. You know,
right,
so.
Right.
Boy, you're asking a lot of questions.
Well, you know.
You should come visit. I don't know if the police are going to be out there, though. Last couple of years, there were no. Usually there was police at the sukkah, round the clock.
Where is the sukkah?
In the park, in between the buildings. Then the last couple of years, no police. Now, because of the situation, I'm wondering if there'll be...
Terrible story in Toronto. You heard about that?
Yeah, over Yontif.
Yeah.
So this Havemeyer Sukkah was up before Rosh Hashanah. It was up before Rosh Hashanah. I don't know who puts it up, but it was up before Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
And I would bet it seats...
Not in my day.
And I would bet it seats 1,000 people.
Wow, it's
got
that big. In my day, it's a
Jay,
a couple
I need
hundred.
You to go back and confirm all this
got,
for me.
Okay.
I want you to
you
go see it.
I got my walk.
There are people listening right now who are very upset that you consider yourself an expert on Williamsburg and you haven't been there in months. There are people very
months?
Upset about that.
I got to go back to Gottlieb's. That's what I got to do.
Yeah. They had an interesting timing. Did you hear when President Trump was supposed to be there? And
oh, gosh.
But
I know those guys, too.
Well, I'm sure you know those
You know guys. Why the French fries there are so good?
Why?
Because it's the same oil.
For how many years?
When they started. They just keep adding more oil.
Oh, you're just spreading rumors.
I'm just kidding, of course.
But what is your favorite item there?
Not.
What is your favorite item there I need to know?
Oh.
Is it the Kishka?
No, it's the Cholent.
The Cholent's your favorite.
Thursday night.
Your Thursday
Thursday Cholent. Night Cholent.
Nothing beats that.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, there's
and
no
the
Thursday
really,
night Cholent.
And you eat grilled chicken. Why do you eat grilled chicken? Because it's not oily, right? Wrong. Not at Gottlieb's. The grilled chicken at Gottlieb's, with the onions on it and the
but what
oil
do you do now?
Dripping.
What do you do now when you need the Thursday Cholent? Neither Elizabeth nor Bayonne has Thursday Cholent.
Oh, now in Linden?
Seriously?
It was for a little while. It's going to come back soon, too. What? You know, because Linden's got a whole bunch of, Hasidic between
community.
Linden and the Five Points, etc. You have Bubba 45 and Bubba 48, then you have like a mixed Hasidic community also.
What happened to Bubba 46 and 47? They never made it? It was only those two that made any impact in Baltimore.
I don't know.
Jay, final words.
Yeah.
Wednesday night. 7:10 from Psagot, if you can get your hands on a bottle. What do you do Thursday? What are you serving to your guests this coming holiday? I know you want to do some Israeli and some American.
Right. Why do I want to do American, too?
Tell everybody why you want
and
to do
I'm going
to
tell you why, because, you know, regardless of what where your thoughts are at, the fact is that the we wouldn't be able to withstand... when I say we, I wish I
our would, brothers and sisters.
Our brothers and sisters without the support that we got.
Including
from
200 rockets from Iran without the support of the United States.
And they got other, to help with that. And now I heard that they just sent another 100 troops
right. To the Middle East.
To the Middle East. So, you know, I want to show some gratitude to that. And so I'm going to have an American wine, too. And it's probably going to be the Red Hills from Herzog,
California.
It's a really wonderful.
What is it? What state? California.
Yeah, California.
Red Hills
from their
Hills
own vineyards.
Called?
Well,
we
it's a sub appellation. It's
now.
A red. Yeah, it's a new sub appellation that is really a wonderful wine. And then I'm going to have probably now. I can't talk about specific varieties, and I'll tell you why. Because if I mention one of them, all the others are going to say, "Why didn't you talk about them?" No. So I'm going to talk about the fact that I'm going to have one wine from the north, from the Golan.
Right. And you can't tell us which winery?
No.
We've been doing Psagot the whole morning.
You've been doing Psagot the whole morning.
You can't do one winery up there?
So I'm going to have one wine from the north.
Right.
And there are many, you know. There's
always white from the north?
There's Matar. No, I'm going to mention a whole bunch of them. There's Matar, and there's a whole bunch from the north. And then I'm going to do one wine from the Judean Hills, because I want to feel all of Israel. So I'm going to do one wine from the Judean Hills, and there are many there. There's between Psagot and Shiloh and Kestel and Tsuba and et cetera, et cetera.
Zmora.
And then I'm going to do one wine from the south, from Yatir.
Where is Yatir?
Yatir is in Yatir.
Where is that?
It's in...
Not in the Negev, is it?
Yeah, it's in the Negev.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's in the... Oh. They call it the Southern Judean Hills. Right. It ain't the Southern Judean Hills. It's really the Negev.
Unbelievable. You can grow grapes anywhere in Israel.
And no, so that way you feel like you're covering the country.
I gotcha.
You know, that way you feel
that's
like
why I'm upset
you're
not doing a New York State
all.
One, because you're only doing California, not covering the whole country.
Yeah. And, you know... Oh, gosh, do they need it? You know, we were talking about, you know, even though the high tech is doing well, what about the grocery store guy?
Yeah.
What about the accountant? What about the restaurant?
What about those who don't have jobs in America and aren't able to work remotely?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you. Believe me, I hear you. A different sukkus, that's for sure. I'll never forget the moment we heard the news on Shmini Atzeres last year. Changed everything, but we did have a...
You know, I keep forgetting. I used to forget my son's birthday. Yeah. It's October 7th. I ain't never forgetting that again. My tzaddik, my big boy, who made the best day of my life because he was my firstborn, Tzvi.
It's Tzvi Hirsch. I don't forget my kid's birthday. Is that funny? I don't do that. I mean, some people are very good with numbers. So,
yeah.
You know,
they're able I'm pretty
to,
good with numbers.
They're able to commit this stuff to memory.
Yeah, not me.
Can I quiz you on your other kids' birthdays or not?
No. Absolutely not.
What about Brenda? Would she know them?
I know Brenda's birthday.
Thank God.
You know why?
Why?
January 1st.
I was just going to say January 1st. Hard to forget.
Yeah, hard to forget. Oh, gosh.
My nephew.
I sometimes forget my own birthday, so, you know.
Not a chance. It's in August, Jay.
No, it's not.
In July.
Yes, it's in July.
We celebrated in August.
Yeah, that's true.
Your 40th birthday party was
in August.
And
you both were there.
Yeah, the big 40. We were all there for the 40th birthday.
I keep telling people I'm 91.
Whoa, what just happened?
I don't know.
I just broke all the equipment. Jay, we need a major donation to fix this. Please. give us some of that yeshiva money so we can fix the studio microphone. I'm begging you. Anyway, there you have it, folks. He is the number one kosher wine sommelier in the history of the United States. Well, no, I shouldn't say United States of America. In the history of the world. In the history of the, when you go to Wikipedia, this is what's going to say about him. He's the number one kosher wine sommelier in the history of the world. Imagine that. Could you imagine? And by the way, there have been a lot of high-profile people in the world of kosher wine.
That's true.
What was that guy's name? The one who used to have the, you know, he had the big guide to kosher wine. He passed
away. David Rogoff.
Right, Rogoff.
Actually, his name was Daniel Juroff. But his pen name was Daniel Rogoff.
You knew him well.
I knew him well. You know, it just shows...
Are you now the new Rogoff, basically?
No. But it just shows you, this is a man that was not an observant person.
Right.
At all. At all, at all, at all. But when I went to Israel, I used to visit him every single time. And every single time when I landed and I called him and I said, where are we eating? He said, don't worry, Jay, I got you the most kosher place. You know, it's the sensitivity, you know... In Israel,
don't get me started on this topic.
You know,
Don't get me started on this topic.
Okay.
You have no idea how right you are. You have no idea how right you are. I'm listening to the newscast from Israel, Erev Yom Kippur. They're wishing everybody a Gemar Chesima Tova.
Unbelievable.
I mean, like, you know, does anybody ever stop? And, you know, with all the...
You know, I have friends, winemakers, who, when it comes to Purim, all right, in America, if you're not religious, you don't even know what Purim is.
Correct.
In Israel, everybody gets dressed like it's Halloween, correct, you know? And it's beautiful. And every Friday night, they may turn on the TV or they may go for a ride or whatever. But
they're lighting Shabbos candles.
They're having dinner with each other. It's a whole different, you're right, you know, I mean... You keep saying about you announced how you keep moving up the time of when you're going to be going. Man, you just smacked me around on that, boy.
And by the way, I found a good place up north for you. You'll like it. A lot of space.
Okay.
Katsurin. Should we go there together?
Right now, Katsurin is under fire.
That's not true. Katsurin no, you're is right. East
it's,
enough.
It's east enough.
It's,
yeah,
east
enough.
It's like Chespin. It's east enough to just be out of range. But,
yeah,
although,
but it's still pretty scary.
Oh, right. It's a rough neighborhood.
It's
near Syria. But I heard the prices, and I heard how much space you can get for that price. And I'm like, you know what?
And also, for me, it's right near the vineyard.
It's right near the vineyards. And imagine this, Jay. If we are, in fact, 3 hours from Yerushalayim, very few people will ever visit us. People wonder why I wanted to move to Eilat. Because I know that once in a while someone will come visit.
My son and daughter-in-law have an apartment at the Namal. It's a Yerusha from my daughter-in-law.
Meaning in Tel Aviv.
In Tel Aviv.
And so, Namal means the real Namal? Like a minute Namal. Walk from the restaurant?
Yes, yes. 1 minute walk from the restaurant. 3 minute walk.
What's the official address, do you know? Is it on Yarkon? What's it on?
No.
No, Yarkon would be more real Tel Aviv.
No, Yarkon is real three Aviv, blocks. Right. You know.
Oh, so it is close.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoever thought the Namal would be the Namal?
It's unbelievable.
Whoever thought that area would be anything?
And you know what? When I started going to Israel in the late 70s, there was one, maybe two kosher restaurants in all of Tel Aviv. Now, the Namal? Like
just there,
60% of the restaurants, more, correct, maybe 75%,
yeah, it's more, I think,
are kosher.
Correct.
And pizza shops and Chinese, you name it. But my favorite,
yeah,
Shmulika Cohen.
Where's that?
You got to find it.
In Yerushalayim?
Yeah, it's in Tel Aviv. No, I'm sorry, it's in Tel Aviv.
I'm trying to think of the one we ate at that you would know about in Yerushalayim. I have to think of the name. But anyway, two things at the Namal that I saw that I couldn't believe.
Right.
We went to a kosher steakhouse. I'm sure you've been there. And first of all, you know there's some low-flying planes that actually, you know, like private planes, yeah, and Air Force RUDs that still,
okay,
go that's over that area.
Oh, really?
Okay. Which is really cool if you're there when it happens. Like, it's right above you. It's very cool. Anyway, so we saw that. Well, what was the second miraculous thing I saw that I never thought I would see at the Namal?
What?
In the middle of my steak dinner. Mincha! Mincha! I couldn't believe it. Right across from the restaurant, like 50 guys davening Mincha and Maariv. 20 minutes I waited for that steak. It was getting cold. Can you imagine? It's a different country. And people often don't want to realize and recognize the direction the country's going in. Collectively. I'm not saying that, you know, everyone's sitting in Kollel all day.
There's issues, but
of course.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah.
So Katsurin, it's Katsurin. You'll let Brendan know?
I'll let Brendan know.
That's it. We made a decision.
You got the lot next to you, you know, reserved for us?
Jay, there's so much space up there.
Oh, yeah.
You can have whatever you want.
I hear you.
See, are you into space? Yes.
You know,
you
I
grew
have
up
a beautiful.
In Williamsburg.
Yeah, I grew up
so
in Williamsburg. And you
space.
Know, I have a beautiful Bliayin Har, beautiful space at my home in Elizabeth.
Right. I went to dinner last night, and space was the biggest consideration. Once I realized that the Rangers were home, I said, we're not going there because there'd be a billion people there. So we went to a different place, and we had space. And we could do this all day long, Jay. All right. What a delight to see you.
Pleasure's mine.
And what can we say other than Wednesday night, there will be millions. Is that an exaggeration? Millions of Kedem-associated bottles on Sukkot tables around the world?
I hope so.
Would millions be an exaggeration?
A million, maybe, yeah.
Between grape juice, wine, and every country throughout the world. How many countries have your product, do you think?
31.
The 31 countries with products that you are associated with?
Yeah.
Only
like
31?
We have six. No, maybe
the UN has like 170. What happened?
Right,
what happened to all the rest of them?
No, I'm sure there's more. any place where there's a Chabad house, there's a Kedem bottle. You know.
Well, in that case,
yeah, it's everywhere.
It's all 50 states.
I'm more or less, maybe not, maybe some not, but mostly, yeah. Well, just in Latin America alone,
right.
We have 16 countries
right, that's
or
what
something.
I'm saying.
It's
so
crazy.
I think you're underestimating.
Yeah, probably.
Europe, you have almost the whole continent,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Russia or the former Soviet Union is a million countries.
Yeah.
So you don't realize. You don't realize how successful you are, Mr. Mukhtar.
It's all in God's hands, really.
That's an understanding.
You know, I say this all the time. I say this to Yaichi and to, you know, I won't take credit for the results, but I will take credit for the Yishtadlis, for the hard work. And it's an important point to make because don't take credit for the results, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be working hard, you know, in all areas of Yehadis and protection for Israel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
100%. Well said. I take this opportunity to wish you a happy, healthy, sweet new year, a great Yontif of Sukkot.
And a good Kvittel.
And a good Kvittel, which is, I said to someone the other day, you can't say a good Kvittel till Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Am I
right
or wrong?
Exactly, exactly.
You can't say it till Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. What are they pulling out the good Kvittel for? Give me a break. Now it's what? Gemar Tov, right?
Gemar Tov, yeah. If someone told me you shouldn't say Gemar Tov.
Why?
Because it's like, that's it. It's over. And you're not supposed to say it's over. Gemar Chasima Tova, okay. But not Gemar Tov, like, it's the end.
You're hanging out in a very sensitive crowd, young man.
Oh, Moshe Yankel Buxman was a great guy.
He's the one who told you.
Yeah, his father told him, never say Gemar Tov.
Everyone's got their thing.
Everybody's got their thing.
One thing I will tell you is Jay has made a commitment that if either the Yankees or Mets win the World Series, you are toasting them with Kedem champagne,
you
right?
You remember that?
Well, that was Baltimore, but I remember that show.
That was crazy. It was not placed.
Of course not.
They
were desperate for champagne. They went to the kosher...
I don't know what they did.
That's what happened.
What? What happened? What was the
there
story
behind
that?
There used to be kosher champagne stored for the suites that had exclusive kosher.
Oh, okay.
And they ran out of champagne at the celebration of the Baltimore Orioles. So they went and took that champagne. So
wow.
Is that funny?
And it was on the front page of the New York Post or something.
And the picture gets, I think it was Daily News, and the picture, not only is the guy drinking your champagne, you could see the label.
Right, right. Perfectly. It was like he did it on purpose.
Like God himself was the PR man, Jay.
Isn't he always, though?
Isn't he always? Chag Sameach, sir.
Chag Sameach.
This was really a nice conversation. Thank you.
A good Gebench Jor to everybody.
A good Gebench Jor is right. More coming up. You're listening to a Monday morning edition of JM in the AM.